This week's Parsha is Parshas Shmos, and I'm going to make a quick synopsis of the Parsha and mention specifically some relevant points for the Shiur. The Parsha tells how the Egyptians, after the brothers died, started to enslave the Jews, and the Torah tells you the more that they would afflict them, the more they would multiply. Afterwards, we learn about the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu became an adult, he went out amongst his people and he saw an Egyptian hitting a Jew, and that is on chapter 2, Pasuk number 11. And he saw an Egyptian hitting a Jew. He turned this way and that way, and he saw that there is no man. He hit the Egyptian, meaning he killed him, and he hid them in the sand. Moshe eventually finds out that Paroi found out that he killed the Egyptian. Paroi tries to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu has to run to Midian. At Midian, he marries the daughter of Yisro Tzipora. When he's shepherding the sheep of Yisro, he sees a bush that's burning, but it is not getting consumed. Hashem tells him from the bush that I have seen the affliction of the Jewish people and I have come to save them. Therefore, I am sending you to Pharaoh to tell him to let the Jewish people go. Moshe Rabbeinu, on chapter 3, Pasuk number 13, he says, I will come in front of the Jewish people and I'll tell them that the God of your forefathers sent me to you. They will ask me, what is his name? What should I tell him? On Pasuk number 14, Vayomer Elohim El Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ehye Asher Ehye, I will be as I shall be. Vayomer, and Hashem tells him, Koy Soymar Livnei Israel, so you should say to the Jewish people, Ehye, I will be, Shelochani Aleichem, send me to you. Rashi here quotes the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Tesomet Beis 9b, where the Gemara there, according to the Marsha, gives interpretation of what is the meaning Eya Asher Eya, that Hashem told the Jewish people, Eya, I will be with them in this trouble, in this subjugation. Asher Eya, and I will be again with the Jewish people and other troubles where they'll be subjugated under other kings. In other words, I will be with them and I will redeem them from this enslavement, and I will also be with them and redeem them from any future enslavements that they will have. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem why you have to remind them of their trouble. It's enough that they have this trouble. You don't have to remind them that they're going to have other trouble in the future. Then Hashem tells them, you're right. You have said the right thing. You should only tell the Jewish people, Eye Shelochani Aleichem, that the one who will be, in other words, Hashem that will be with us in this trouble, he is the one that sent me to you, that he'll redeem us from this trouble. In other words, the Marsha explains that because it's written in the middle of this pasuk, two times the word Vayoymer, two times the word that Hashem said. First, it's written Vayoymer Elohim El Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe, Eya Shereya, and then he says Vayoymer again, and he said again. That means Hashem said again that so should say to the Jewish people, must be that there was a conversation between it. And the conversation between it was that Moshe Rabbeinu objected of the Jewish people knowing that they are only going to be redeemed temporarily, that they're going to have more troubles in the future. In response, Hashem tells them, tell the Jewish people that I'm going to redeem them now and don't mention about the future. The Ramban explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that if he tells the Jewish people that the God of your forefathers had sent me, they will ask which attribute of Hashem's name are you representing. In other words, Hashem has got different names depending on what he's about to do. We know the Shem Yudkei Vavkei normally connotes compassion. The name of Hashem Elohim usually means that Hashem is strict justice. When Hashem uses the name Tzevaot, according to the Midrash, that is the strict justice over the nations. And the name Shakai, normally that means that Hashem, who controls nature and He does hidden miracles, now that Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to tell the Jewish people they are going to be redeemed, they wanted to know in what merit they are going to be redeemed. And therefore, he told them that in the merit of Ehye, which according to Rashi means that in the merit that I am with you in this tzara, I am with you in this enslavement, that is the merit that you will be redeemed. Reb Shimon Mastropole asks the famous question that Old Meforshim asked, if it was previously decreed in Bris Ben Absorim, in the covenant between the parts between Hashem and Avraham Avinu, that his children are going to be enslaved and afflicted for 400 years, how come the Jewish people were only afflicted for 210 years? Reb Shimon Mastropole answers that each name of Hashem connotes a certain kind of revelation. As we mentioned before, name Elohim is the attribute of justice, name Tzevaot is justice over the nations of the world. So he explains that when the Jewish people sin, have a special effect on a specific name of Hashem. And as the Pasuk here says, that the name of Hashem in this Galut is the name Ehyeh. Numerical value of the name Ehyeh is 21. The Aleph is 1, the He is 5, that's 6, the Yud is 10, that's 16, and the other He is 5, makes it 21. And Rashi on Bereishis chapter 37, Pasuk number 33, he asks a question, how come Hashem did not tell Yaakov Avinu what happened to Yosef? Rashi answers that they had a covenant, a pact, with a threat of excommunication. In other words, they said that anybody that is going to tell Yaakov about the sale will be excommunicated. And they also made Hashem join in that pact, because there was only 9 brothers present for that pact to be made, because Yosef was sold and Binyamin and Reuven weren't present. So there are only 9 brothers present, and to make that covenant or that pact, you require to have 10. So they made the Shechina, they made Hashem join in that covenant. Therefore, Hashem could not tell Yaakov what happened to Yosef. As an aside, I wanted to answer, how is it possible that Hashem joined in this pact with the brothers? The brothers did something so despicable as to sell Yosef. How can we say that Hashem joined them in that pact? I wanted to answer that Hashem joined them in the pact, but for different reasons. Their brothers thought that the fact that Hashem joined them in this covenant, in this pact, not to tell Yaakov, that means that Hashem gave a stamp of approval on the sale of Yosef. But the brothers were mistaken. Hashem only joined them in the covenant not to tell Yaakov. On not telling Yaakov, that Hashem gave the stamp of approval. Why? Because since we know that Yaakov had to suffer for 22 years that he didn't see Yitzchak by not seeing Yosef for 22 years, on that Hashem gave his stamp of approval of not telling Yaakov what happened to Yosef. Like that, Yaakov will be suffering by not seeing Yosef for 22 years, Mido keneged mido, measure for measure, what he did to his own father. But chas v'sholem, that Hashem gave his stamp of approval on the sale of Yosef. But going back to our subject, since there were 10 involved in the covenant not to tell Yaakov about the sale of Yosef, then there is 10 sources that cause the weakness in the name of Hashem Ehyeh, in the name of 21. So if you take 21 and you multiply it by 10, ends up being 210. So therefore, we ended up being in Egypt for 210 years, says Reb Shimon Mastropole, because there was 10 pagams, 10 weaknesses in the name of Ehyeh, in the name of Hashem, which is numerical value 21. Are you going to ask me, according to this, we should only be there 189 years, because even though there was a covenant of 10 that they're not going to disclose to Yaakov Avinu about the sale of Yosef, but people, there are only nine. As we mentioned, Hashem was the tenth that joined them to this covenant. And how can Hashem cause a transgression in His own name? And if you count only nine, then you have 9 times 21 is 189, and that's how long we should have been in Egypt. The answer is, as the Maharal explains in the Gemara that we're just going to mention, that even though Hashem didn't do anything wrong, but yet what people view it as a complaint, Hashem requires atonement for that too. The Gemara is in Chulin Daf Samach Omed Beis, a famous Gemara. The Gemara says first, Rab Shimon ben Pozi Romi, Rab Shimon ben Pozi asked a contradiction. On Bereishis, chapter 1, Pasuk number 16, the Pasuk says, Vayasa Elokim eshnei ha-me'oris ha-gdolim, that Hashem made the two great luminaries. And right afterwards it tells you, as ha-me'or ha-gadol, the greater luminary, le'mem shelois bayoim, to rule by day, ves ha-me'or ha-katan, and the small luminary, le'mem shelois ha-layla, to rule at night. So it says originally that Hashem made two great luminaries, and then right away it says that they're not too great. One is great and one is a smaller one. The Gemara tells a story that the moon came in front of Hashem and says, Hashem, how is it possible two kings should use one crown? You made us two luminaries. How is it possible we both should have one crown? We both should be equal. So Hashem tells her, you're right. Go and diminish yourself. So the moon was complaining, Hashem, just because I said a proper thing, therefore you give me a punishment to diminish myself? And the Gemara gives different answers how Hashem appeased the moon. And on that, the Gemara later on brings in the name of Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says, why in the Musaf offering of Rosh Chodesh, where it says that you are required to bring a sin offering, it's written, Chatos Lashem, that the sin offering is to Hashem. It's not written in any other sin offerings that it is to Hashem. Rish Lakish answers, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Sor ze ye kapora, this sor should be an atonement or a clean off of a complaint, al shem yatati es hayoreach, for me diminishing the moon. Meaning what we mentioned before, that Hashem caused the moon to be diminished, therefore he requires to have an atonement. But the Maharal explains that it cannot interpret it as an atonement because we are atoning from whom? How can that atonement be for Hashem? So we must explain it that in order for the moon not to have any complaints, we are giving it. In the same vein, we could say that Hashem knows that He didn't do anything wrong, but nonetheless, since people may complain that Hashem became part of the ten that did not tell Yaakov about the sale of Yosef, therefore, it requires to have an atonement, requires to have something to remove that complaint, and Hashem is part of the 10, therefore we have 10 times 21, which is 210 years, therefore we had to be enslaved for 210 years. And that could be the idea when Hashem mentioned on Bereishis, chapter 46, Pasuk number 4, Anoichi Eredim Chamitzrayma, that I will go down with you to Egypt, because since Hashem became part of the 210, then He's required to come down with us to Egypt. And with that, we could also answer the famous question that Tosfos asks on the Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Yud Amud Beis. There the Gemara says, V'omar Rav bar Machasya, Omar Rav Choma bar Gurya, Omar Rav. Rav Choma bar Machasya said in the name of Rav Choma bar Gurya, in the same of Rav. Lo'oilam al yeshane adam b'noi ben abonim. A person should never treat one son differently from his other sons. Why? Shabishvil mishkal shnei sloim milas. Because of the two sloim weight of fine wool. Shenasan Yaakov le Yosef, Yoiser mishar bonav. That Yaakov Avinu gave to Yosef more than his brothers. When Yaakov made to Yosef the ksoines pasim, the fine wool tunic, and according to the interpretations, only the cuff of the shirt, the end of the shirt, had some fine wool in it. Niskanu boyechov, the brothers got jealous, v'nizgalgal adover, and the things turned, v'yordov v'yisen l'mitzrayim, and because of that, they came down to Egypt. In other words, the Talmud is saying that since Yaakov Avinu played favorites with Yosef and gave him just a very small thing more than his brothers. The brothers got jealous. Because they got jealous, they eventually sold them. Because they sold them, Yosef had to go to Egypt. And eventually, everybody ended up going to Egypt because of this jealousy. So Toys asks a question, what do you mean that is the reason they went down to Egypt? It was already predicted that they're going to be afflicted for 400 years. So Toysos answers there that the harshness of affliction was stronger because of what the brothers did. In other words, Toysos is saying that you're right, we are going to go to Egypt anyways, but we didn't have to work so hard, we didn't have to suffer so much. We only suffered so much because of the sins of the brothers. But you could say, according to this, that could be the brothers would never have to go down to Egypt, because according to Rashi, we start already the count of the 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak. That as soon as Yitzchak was born, the counting of 400 years started. And exactly 400 years after Yitzchak was born, we left Egypt. And if we start the count from the birth of Yitzchak, then we must say that that prediction that's written on Parshas Lech Lecha, that Ger Yezaracha, that stranger will be your children, Be'eretz Elohem, in a land that's not theirs, Ve'avadum, V'inu Oysam, and they will enslave them, and they will afflict them for 400 years, it doesn't mean to say that for 400 years we are going to be enslaved, or that for 400 years we are going to be afflicted, because we know Yitzchak lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he was never afflicted according to the normal pshat in Rashi. And Yaakov Avinu also was not afflicted all his life. Therefore, we must say that even though it's part of the 400 years, but what has to come true is that Ger Yezaracho, the stranger, will be your children. That has to come true because affliction really didn't happen by Yitzchak, and yet Yitzchak was part of the 400 years count. Once we see that it doesn't have to be enslavement or affliction for 400 years, now we could explain that why were we really afflicted for 210 years? We were only afflicted because of what the brothers did. So the Gemara is trying to tell you that the jealousy between brothers caused us to be afflicted and enslaved. Without that, maybe we would have gotten away like Yitzchak got away without any harsh work and without any affliction. But because of what we did, because we were poigim in Shem Eya, in the name of Hashem of Eya, which is numerical value 21, by 10 of us transgressed that Shem of Eya of 210, therefore we had to be in Egypt for 210 years, exactly like the Gemara says, that that jealousy caused Yosef to be sold, and because of that we ended up in Egypt. True, we had a 400-year sentence before, but could it have been that we would have never had to go down to Egypt at all? We will just be afflicted maybe for a day, but not for 210 years. The only reason that we are afflicted for 210 years is because the brothers sold Yosef. And the fact that the brothers sold Yosef, like the Rav Shimshon Estrapala says, caused us exactly 210 years of suffering. The Rambam, in Guide for the Perplexed, first part, chapter 63, says that if you take a look throughout Sefer Bereishis, we never have Hashem coming to a person and command them to speak to somebody else in his name, or you never see Hashem telling somebody to say that I'm going to send you to do something for somebody else. Always Hashem speaks directly to the person who he is interested, or the commandment is directly for that person to do something. Here is the first time that Hashem is telling somebody to go over and say a prophecy, and go over and do something. Therefore, unless people know or have direct contact with Hashem, they won't know who Hashem is. Therefore, here Moshe Rabbeinu was worried that the Jewish people are going to ask him, who sent me? Why should they ask? Because nobody ever was sent by Hashem. People always connected themselves directly to Hashem, but never they were sent as a messenger from Hashem. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, what name should I say of the person that sent me? And the Rambam answers that the language Eya, Asher Eya, means that I am, in other words, I am found because I'm found. That my existence, Hashem's existence doesn't depend on anybody or on anything, only depends solely on Hashem. I am because I am. The Barbanel explains that according to the Rambam in Perish HaMishnais, he says that when a Navi comes, a prophet comes to say prophecy to the Jewish people, we have to ask him, who spoke to you? Did you speak to a star? Did you speak to the moon? Did you speak from an idol? Who spoke to you? And if he said, I heard it from a star or from a demon, then we stone him. He's required to say that he heard it from Hashem. So the Barbanel explains that that is why Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, what name should I say is the one that is speaking to me? How should I make him understand that I'm speaking from you? And Hashem answered, like we mentioned from the Rambam, Eye Asher Eye, which is you spoke from the being, which is only in control of his being. In other words, Hashem, who makes all existence possible, and he only exists because he exists, because he wills it to exist, and everything comes from him. The Gera Rebbe in Sefer Imre Emes brings an interesting interpretation what the meaning is Eye Asher Eye. And he says, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, that when the Jewish people ask me what name of Hashem revealed to me, and what manifestation of the name was it the one that revealed, Hashem answered them, Ehye Asher Ehye. We mentioned before that the numerical value of the word Ehye is 21. If you take 21 and you multiply it by 21, because Hashem didn't just say Ehye, Hashem says Eye Asher Eye, which implies to the Imre Emes that Hashem wants you to take the word Eye and multiply it by Ehye, which is 21 times 21. Comes out 21 times 21 is 441. 441 is also the numerical value of Emes, truth. And the Gemara always says that Chosomoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the seal of Hashem, is always Emes, truth. Comes out when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, what name should you use to tell us that we are going to redeem? The name is really Emes, truth. That Ehye, Asher Ehye, is equivalent to Emes. And Hashem was alluding to Moshe Rabbeinu that they're going to be redeemed in the merit of truth. And the Imre Emes uses that to interpret what we say on the repetition of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. In the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, we have the famous song, V'chol Ma'aminim Shehu, and we all believe that Hashem is, and we say afterwards what we believe. One of them is V'chol Ma'aminim Shehu Dayon Emes. We all believe that Hashem is a true judge. Hehogui, whose name of Hashem is expressed, Be'eye Asher Eye, that Hashem's name is Eye Asher Eye. And everybody is bothered, what is the connection with Eye Asher Eye, with the fact that Hashem is a true judge? Because we're saying we believe that Hashem is a true judge. Why? Because Hashem expresses himself with the words Eye Asher Eye. So what connection do they have? But according to the Imre Emes, since Eye multiplied by Eye is 441, and 441 is the numerical value of Emes, because the Aleph is 1, the Mem is 40, and the Sof is 400, that makes it 441. Therefore, in the Pismon, in the repetition, we say, we all believe that Hashem is a true judge. How do we know that he's a true judge? Because he called himself Eye Asher Eye, which is numerical value, Emes, truth. Sefer Share Simcha from Rab Simcha Binem Sofer brings down that when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem to give him a name, that in that merit they'll be redeemed, Hashem answered them Eye, which is numerical value 21, as we mentioned. He explains that the Rosh HaTevas, the first letters of Raham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, are also 21. The Aleph is 1, the Yud is 10, another Yud is another 10. That makes it 21. So Hashem was saying, you know how you'll merit redemption? Because of Eye, because of the 21, referring to the merit of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the second one, Asher Eye, that Eye, which is also numerical value 21. And Hashem was alluding that you are going to be redeemed because of the merit of the Torah also. How is the Torah symbolized by the word 21? So he explains that if you take a look at the first letter of every book of the five books of Moses, you're going to end up with the numerical value 21. He explains that Bereishis has the base, which is 2. Then we have Ve'ele Shmos, the Vav, on Ve'ele, it is numerical value 6, so 6 plus 2 is 8. And then on the third book is Vayikra, which starts with a Vav, 8 plus 6 is 14. And then we have on Bamidbar, Vaydaber Hashem, and that's also a Vav, which means that we have to add 6 for the Vav. Then we have 14 plus 6, which equals 20. And then we have Dvorim, which starts Eile, HaDvorim starts with Aleph. Aleph is numerical value 1. So if you have 20 plus 1, we have 21. And basically what Hashem is alluding to Moshe Rabbeinu is what he spoke clearly on chapter 3, Pasuk number 12. Moshe Rabbeinu on Pasuk number 11 asks Hashem, Mi Anoichi, who am I ki Eilech El Paroi, that I should go to Paroi? And that I should be able to take out the Jewish people from Egypt. And Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu here was asking two questions. One, Mi Anoichi, who am I? What importance do I have to speak to kings? And two, let's say I am important, but what merit do the Jewish people have that they should be able to get out of Egypt? And on that, Hashem answers, number one, true, you're not important by yourself, but you're only important because I will be with you, and if I will be with you, that will give importance. And second, and this is the sign, that I send you, that when you get out of Egypt, you will serve me on this mountain. And Rashi explains what means serve me on this mountain, that you're going to receive the Torah, and that is the merit that the Jewish people have to be redeemed. According to Sefer Shara Simcha, that is what Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu asked what merit will they have to be redeemed, Hashem is telling him, you tell him, Ehye Asher Ehye, that you'll have the merit of 21 of the Avos, which is Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, total 21, and also you'll have the merit of the five books of Moses, which the first letter of every book adds to the numerical value of 21. So both these things are the things that you are going to have merit to be redeemed. But afterwards, Sefer Shara Simcha continues that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, even though I'm telling you that Eyeh Asher Eyeh, that you are going to be redeemed in the merit of Torah and in the merit of our Avos, don't tell the Jewish people about the Torah, that since the Jewish people are in such a low spiritual level, they will not understand what does it mean to have a merit of Torah. Therefore, I'm telling you, just tell the Jewish people about the merit of the Avos, that only in the merit of our forefathers, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that is the only reason you are going to be redeemed. So therefore, the pasuk says that Vayomer says, Koy Somar Evnei Israel, so you should say to Jewish people, only Eyeh, only one Eyeh, only 121, only the merit of the Avos, Avram Yitzchak, that's the only merit that you are going to be redeemed. We could bring proof to what the Shara Simcha says, that it means to say in the merit of our three forefathers, because Rabbein Ephraim brings down that it's written three times in this Pasuk, the word Eyeh, one is Eyeh, the second Asher Eyeh, and then he says, Koy Soma Levnei Yisrael, so should tell Jewish people, Ehyeh Shelochani. He explains this is alluding to the three times Hashem used the language Haya for our forefathers. By Avraham, it's written on Lech Lecho, chapter 12, Pasuk number 2. There it says, Veheyeh Bracha, you will be a blessing. And to Yitzchak, it says on Parshas Toldos, chapter 26, Pasuk number 3 says, Gur be'eretz hazois, live in this land, ve'heye imcha, and I will be with you. And for Yaakov, it's written on chapter 31, Pasuk number 3, Vayoymer Hashem al Yaakov, Hashem tells Yaakov, Shuv al eretz avosecho, go back to your land of your father, ulemolad tech, on your birthplace, ve'heye imach, and I will be with you. So Hashem used the language haya three times. So it's telling you, according to Rabbein Ephraim, it's telling this to allude to the Jewish people that they are going to be redeemed in the merit of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, like the Shara Simcha explains, but he actually says that's alluding to the word Hoyo, that it's written three times the word Ehyeh, and not by the numerical value of 21, but by the actual words Ehyeh. Sefer B'Shem Omroi brings a Medrash, which the Medrash says, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh is the same idea, Hashem Tzilcho Al Yad Yominecho, that Hashem is your shadow in your right hand, which means, whatever you do, Hashem shadows it, and Hashem does exactly the same thing. That the way you act towards your fellow man, the way you act towards the mitzvahs of Hashem, that's the way that Hashem will act towards you. If you act with alacrity towards Hashem, Hashem will do things fast for you, and He'll answer you quickly. So Ehyeh, I will do to you, Asher Ehyeh, the same way that I will get from you. That reminded me of what my father, Areni Kaporos Mishkovoy, used to say, that Adios lib de Eibishter, the Eibishter v'tich lipuven. If you love Hashem, in return Hashem will love you. I wanted to answer with this pasuk, Ehyeh, Asher Ehyeh, an important question that always bothered me. If you take a look in the tefillin shorosh that we put on every day, the tefillin has an interesting phenomena. In one side of the tefillin, you have a shin, which is a regular shin, which has three heads. And the other side, you have a shin that has four heads. In other words, normal shin has got three heads, and here the shin has four heads. And always bothered me to find out really why that is so. And I received multiple explanations. One simple explanation that I heard is that the shin with three heads signifies our three forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the shin with four heads signifies our four imaot, our four matriarchs, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And the idea is, when you're putting tefillin, you should know where you come from and behave accordingly. Another interpretation I heard, that if you add four and three, ends up being seven, and the seven is supposed to signify the seven lower sfirot, the seven lower emanations of Hashem, which is Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus, kindness, strength, beauty, victory, awe, foundation, and kingdom. And in truth, if you add to seven, you could come up with a lot of sevens. You could say it's talking about the seven Roim, the seven shepherds which come in every Sukkot, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aharon, Yosef, and David, which coincidentally, each one matches one of the lower Sfirot. Or you could actually say, based on the Gemara that says that there is actually seven Sifre Torahs, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kof Tes Zion 116a, says on the Pasuk in Mishle, Chapter 9, Pasuk number 1, Chotzvo Amodeo Shiva, that he chiseled the pillars 7. Rav Shmuel Banachmani, in the name of Rabbi Yonason, says this is 7 Sifre Torah, and it comes out like Rabbi, which Rabbi says that the Parsha Vahibin Soya Oroin, where there is a noon before and there's a noon after, which according to Rabbi is written that way to teach you that the Pasuk Vahibin Sora with the next Pasuk are a Sifre Torah in itself. According to this, comes out that Bamidbar alone is three Sforim, plus the others, Bereishis, Shmos, Vaikra, and Devarim, ends up being seven Sifre Torahs. And the symbolism would be that by you putting the Tefillin Shorosh, you are testifying, or you are asserting that you are willing to keep the Torah symbolized in that film. But I wanted to say that if you take a look, this Tefillin is something very special, because each head of the shin is like a vav. If you look at the tefillin, each one looks like a vav. So it comes out that when we put tefillin, we have seven vavs. Seven vavs, numerical value of the letter vav is 6. Therefore, if you have seven vavs, you have 7 times 6, which equals 42. And 42 coincidentally equals Ehyeh plus Ehyeh. since the same ayah is 21, and you put another ayah, then it ends up being 42. So I wanted to answer first, just by Rashi's pshat, that it means to say that Hashem is telling us every time we put tefillin, that Hashem says that He'll be with us in this galut. That don't think that Hashem was only with us in the original galut in Mitzrayim. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Asher Eye, that I will be again in the galut that's going to come. Anytime you're in trouble, anytime until Moshiach comes, that we are in trouble, Hashem is with us. So by us putting the tefillin, which has seven vavs, which has seven times six, which signifies by the heads of the shin, 4 plus 3. So that signifies clearly that Hashem is with us through all the galuts, through all our diaspora, through all our trouble. Hashem is always with us. Or you could say, like the Shara Simcha explained, that the letters Ayah, which is numerical value 21, symbolizes Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because the first letter of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov adds 21, and it signifies that this is the merit that Hashem redeems us. And also the other Ayah signifies the Torah, because the first letter of every book adds up to the numerical value of 21, then we could say, like we mentioned before, that in the merit of our forefathers, we remember our forefathers when we put out film, and we also remember the Torah when we put out film. And Hashem specifically gave us the Shin with four heads and the Shin with three heads to remind us of the 42, which is Ayah Asher Ayah. And according to this, it's also very good why Hashem gave us the mitzvah of tefillin right after we got out of Egypt. On Parshas Bo, chapter 13, Pasuk number 9 and Pasuk number 15, there is a commandment for us to put tefillin, and this is written right after we go out of Egypt to symbolize to you that the tefillin is connected to the Ayah Asher Ayah, which was the merit why we went out of Egypt. The other answer I wanted to say is based on what we say right after we put the tefillin sharash. We say there, U'michachmosoch re'elyo in tatzil olai, from your wisdom, Hashem, you should put on me. U'mebinoscho, and for your understanding, tevineni, you should give me understanding. U'vechazacho tagdil olai, and if your kindness do greatly with me, and with your power cut down my foes, my rebels. And then we say, Veshemen atoif torik, your goodly oil you should pour al Shiva Knei Menorah, on the seven branches of the menorah, lashpia tuvchol v'yosecho, to cause your good to flow to your creatures. And the question is, I understand that we want to speak about wisdom, that once we put the tefillin in our head, we want to subjugate our minds to the service of Hashem, and we want to increase our wisdom. I understand that. But what does it mean that your good oil you should pour on the seven rods of the menorah? What has the menorah got to do anything with the tefillin? How is me putting the tefillin causing Hashem to pour on the seven branches on the menorah goodness for His creations? And I wanted to say that the halacha l'Moshe miSinai, the tradition that we have from Sinai, that the tefillin has to be one side with three heads and the other side with four heads, is specifically designed that way, because if you put both of them together, it looks like a seven-branch menorah. It looks like we have one menorah with seven branches. And that's why we say specifically afterwards about the menorah, because since we know this only because of the Orola, the only way that we know how to make tefillin, that the tefillin has to have one shin with three heads and one shin with four heads, and all the other requirements that a tefillin is supposed to have. For example, that it has to be perfectly square, that it has to be black. We only know it from the Orola. We know that each vessel of the temple is supposed to signify something. The ark is supposed to signify the Torah Shebichsav, the written law, the Shulchan, the table is supposed to signify our parnasa, our livelihood. And then the menorah is supposed to signify the oral law or the light of wisdom that we get through the oral law. And once we put our tefillin on, we show Hashem that not only are we accepting the written law, but we are also accepting all the particulars of the oral law. And Hashem in turn tells us that since you are accepting all these things, I'm telling you to please make the shape of the menorah inside your tefillin, that you should wear it on top of your head. And like that, you'll be able to get through those channels, through those rod of the menorah, you'll be able to get the goodly oil which signifies wisdom. And that's why Hashem specifically told us to make the shape of the menorah, one shin with four heads and one shin with three heads, to symbolize to you that you are going to get the wisdom through those rods, through those channels of the menorah. And that's why the rabbi instituted that we should say, Veshemen atoif torik al shivo knei menorah, and pour your goodly oil upon the seven arms of the menorah, lashpia tuvcho levriyosecho, to give the goodness for your creatures, specifically after we put the tefillin shorash. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should all be redeemed quickly, that it should not be worse than Egypt, that we were in the 49th level of Tumah, yet Hashem redeemed us because Hashem knew that we are going to get the Torah, and because of the merit of our forefathers, so too we should now commit ourselves that we're going to keep the Torah, and also will have the merit of our forefathers, will merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, Bimheiro Beyomeinu Amen.